Hey, well, welcome. Welcome to the Fields Church. Good morning. My name's Travis. I am the lead pastor here. And hey, welcome, Charleston. We are so glad you're with us. Remember, we're one church. We are two locations. We might be in different rooms today, but we are all in this together. We love what's going on in Charleston. You guys just even last week showing up in the middle of the snow, and you guys were leaving. And what I was told is you have an amazing dream team that they had all of your cars cleared off as you're leaving. Isn't our dream team and Matt tune in Charleston? Our dream teams are awesome. If you've not been on a dream team, you need to get on a dream team. It's fun to serve alongside each other, making a difference in someone's life. So Charleston, welcome. It's going to be a great day. Before I get started into today's teaching, I wanted to just share something we're going to be doing this week. If you've been watching the news, you know that there's some real tragic storms that went through Alabama and the Mississippi area, and these tornadoes. And to be honest, it's a travesty. There was, you know, a lot of lives lost and a lot of homes destroyed, and there's thousands of people without electricity. One of our top missions partners, Convoy of Hope, they are on the ground right now. And they have a disaster relief arm of the ministry that when these big storms and these big disasters happen, they go right into the middle of it and they're helping. So they have their trucks rolling down there. They're there. They're distributing food, water, helping with all kinds of, you know, post-storm cleanup. And so what we're going to do, since they're one of our partners, is we want to just this week send them extra, send them some financial support. So you guys know when you generously give, when you financially give, that this week we're going to be taking a portion of today's offering and just saying, let's make sure they have extra. Every little dollar, it adds up because these are real needs, water, food, things like that. So we're going to be sending them some of that this week. So thank you guys for being such a generous church. That's why we can do these things. So we want to get behind people who are making a difference in people's lives. And Convoy is an amazing ministry that we are a part of. So thanks for your generosity. Let's get into today's teaching. We're in the middle of a series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And we've already heard the song and saw Mr. Rogers, and we understand the importance of reaching out and being a good neighbor and caring about the people around us, and we've been talking about this. But when you think of the series title, you know, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Just the way the song is sung, it's really a question. In fact, actually, it's more of an invitation. It's inviting someone close to you. It's inviting someone in to be a neighbor, to be a friend, to get involved in your world. And what we're really kind of saying is, hey, will you come in close? Would you be willing to sit at the table with us? And I love how Mr. Rogers, you know, for 33 years he had this program, and he's just inviting anybody and everybody into the program and welcoming them and showing that they have value. And as a Christian, as God's people, we need to be welcoming and inviting people in and saying, you have value and you matter to God. And so we want to talk about that it's this invitation. Have you ever been invited to something good? Have you ever received that invitation? It was a few years ago, I got in the mail an invitation to to an event with one of our other missions partners, One Hope, and they're inviting some of the churches that have kind of been with them to go to Washington, D.C. for a pre-tour of the grand opening of the Museum of the Bible. So this is right downtown Washington, D.C. And so I got to go to an event, and Joy went, and a couple other pastors that we're close to. We got to go to Washington, D.C., and we got to tour this museum before it was open. So this was in October of 2017, and we're getting to see this building. They are still putting displays together when we're taking the tour. They are still putting things under protective cases. They are still hanging things on the wall that are museum quality. And we're getting to walk up and down the halls and all the different floors and see this stuff. Well, there's this one area on the bottom floor that's specifically designed for kids, and they have this cool kid interactive room, and that one was done. And so we could go in, and they said, go ahead and, you know, participate, play on some of the things. And there's this one area that was like David and Goliath, and it's kind of like a, you know, is a little bit of a game where you're trying to, you have this handle and you're flipping stones up and you're trying to hit David in the head. Okay, it's for like 4 and 5 year olds. Okay, and so me and my another friend, another pastor friend, we're doing this, and we're playing, we're throwing stones at David's head and getting excited and having fun. The next thing you know is we're doing it, the handle falls off. The handle breaks, like breaks off, not just falls off, like breaks into, breaks off. This place hasn't even been opened yet, and we have already broken something in the museum, and I don't think we'll ever get invited back to that place. And it, just like I tell my kids, that's why we don't have anything nice around here. It's because you're always going to mess something up. Well, there we go. Before this place opens, we break something in the museum. And to be honest, you know, I'm probably not going to get any really nice, fancy invitations in the mail from those guys again. But there are times that you get invitations. You get invited into something and you're like, I would like to go to that. I would like to be a part of that. And when we say, won't you be my neighbor, you're inviting them into something so special. It's community, it's relationship with God, it's inviting them into church. And there's a conversation in Scripture where Jesus starts talking about, you know, won't you be my neighbor? I want us to take a look at that today because Jesus turns this conversation where these people are hanging out at this dinner and they're just sitting around and they're having a meal. In fact, they're kind of talking about who's more important, where should people sit and who gets to sit at the seat of honor. And they're having this like who's better than who kind of a moment. And then Jesus starts talking about the dinner of all dinners, the party of all parties, the feast, the kingdom of God feast that's going to take place. And what you and I would understand that is this is going to be heaven. And he starts talking about this feast and this kingdom, and it really perks everyone's attention up. And I want us to pick up the story there because Jesus wants to help them understand. When you talk about the invitation into the kingdom of heaven, let's take this invitation seriously. So it's in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14 starts to tell this story. Luke records the story, writes it down, helps us understand this is the voice and the words of Jesus telling us this story. So let's take a look at this. In Luke chapter 14 says, hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it would be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. How good it would be, how much blessing. It would just be an honor. It would be an incredible experience to attend, to sit there, to be in the feast. Now, this would have been the party of all parties. And he's like, oh man, this, what a blessing it will be. He's not saying, man, I hope I get there. He's saying, oh, what a blessing it will be. He's assuming I'm going to get to go there. In fact, let me back up a little bit. The people that are in this environment right now, they were the religious elites, the Pharisees, the scholars, and they just assumed if something good is going to happen with God, that they're going to automatically get to be there. And so when he talks about this, the tone of voice would be more of, what a blessing it's going to be when I'm sitting there. And he's assuming, he's making this assumption that he's going to be at the banquet. And he's just assuming he's on the guest list. That he's the one that's going to be there. He's the honored guest. There is a bit of this entitlement. Well, I'm a Pharisee. I'm Jewish. I grew up in this. Of course I'm going to be a part of this banquet. And so he was almost like he was entitled. It would be how happy it will be for all of us Jews and all of us really religious people and all of us people that we know each other, how happy of a day it'll be when we all just gather together in heaven at this big party and we're all together, just us. It'll be a nice, big, rich Jewish family reunion and we'll all be sitting at the table together. That's pretty much what he's saying. And so what's Jesus do? Jesus does what he loves to do in conversation is he gets them really thinking. And so this guy's confidence and his assumption led to another story. And Jesus goes, oh, well, let me tell you another story. And so he says this, Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Listen, this was a great feast Jesus is talking about. And he said that there's many invitations. Like this, a lot of people are going to be coming to this. He's saying that this is for all to respond, and he has this master list of saying, I want everyone to come to this. And he's setting the stage to this crowd of people sitting there. Jesus is going, this is going to be the party of all parties, and these invitations are going to be sent out. Let's read on. It says this, but they began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pair of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. And another said, I just got married. I can't come. I mean, these are just excuses. Like Jesus is saying, there's going to be this very wealthy person putting on this amazing party. The invitations are sent out. And now they're like, the party's ready. Go get them and tell them to come on in. And when the master says, hey, it's time to come, they start giving him excuses. Excuses. I mean, pretty lame excuses too. I mean, Jesus makes it clear that these people are just full of excuses. Like you and I, we know that. We've heard people give us excuses. We know what it's like when we're trying to invite someone or ask someone to do something, and all they do is give us excuses. I remember when I was in school and I was in elementary school, or I think I was in middle school, and I was going to invite a girl to go to the movie theater, and she said she had to stay home and wash her hair. That's not good. That's an excuse. Like she didn't like me, okay? She should have just said that. But no, she's going to stay home and wash her hair. Well, they're going to inspect a field. They're going to inspect a field? No, I got to go to work. It's pretty much what they said. Can't go to your feast. I got work to do. Oh, I just bought new oxen. I got to go try them out. That's like saying, I just bought this brand new, awesome John Deere lawnmower, and you know what? I just spent a ton of money on it, but I'm going to go try it out and see if it works. Well, if you spend a ton of money on it, you probably know it already works, but just an excuse. I just got married. I can't go. Yeah, right. Like your wife has said, oh, you're going to dress up and take me out to something really nice, and she's going to say no. Like, no, this guy is just making up excuses. And this one, he throws his wife under the bus. Don't do that, guys. Like, don't throw your wife under the bus. He blames his wife and says, I'm not going to go. Like, what wife's not going to want to go to that incredible party? These are pretty pathetic excuses, right? But you know what? I think sometimes we make excuses to God. Let's hear that. Let's pause and ask ourselves, have I ever made an excuse to God? God's inviting me into something better and greater and deeper, and I've made an excuse. I got to go to work. I got to mow the yard. I don't know. Let me go ask my wife, which is just an excuse for no. I just don't have the guts to tell you no. It's just. And Jesus is like, this is important. So he continues to tell a story and says, okay, well, these people made up a bunch of excuses. The servant returned and told his master what they'd said, and his master was furious. And he said, now, okay, then go quickly into the streets and into the alleys of the town and invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the blind, invite the lame. Go out. And okay, so the people that I had on my list originally are not coming. The party is for anybody and everyone. So now go out and extend that list. Make sure that anybody and everybody is invited. And he starts calling out people that wouldn't have been on that list. He even says some people. Jesus is telling this story. They would have been looking around going, what's he talking about? The lame, the crippled, the people that have zero respect. Like they would have been going, where's Jesus going with this story? And the basic message of this story is that the banquet is an available blessing that is available to anyone who's willing to respond. And so there's this invitation saying, okay, go bring other people in then. Because God's saying, I want them to experience this blessing, this feast, because it's life-giving. And so he's making a life-giving invitation saying, go find those who really need help and really need life. If those other lame-os are going to have all these excuses, so be it. Find people who really want my blessing and who really want this life-giving message. No one was left out, not the poor, not the sick, not the margin, those who are outside of the margins. And then, check this out, the servant comes back and says, okay, I've done that. We've invited all those people. There is still more room. He's like, there's still more room. He goes, so the master said, well, then go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be filled. So in that setting, your people were inside the city gate. But if you went outside of the city gate, those weren't your people anymore. For whatever reason, they lived outside of the city. They lived outside. Maybe they had been barred. Maybe they had some kind of leprosy. Maybe they had some kind of, maybe they weren't clean. And so they had to live outside. In the master saying, so let's go out. Go beyond the city gate. Go to the hedges. Go far behind. Go beyond the norm and urge them. Are you picking up the heart of God here? Go beyond the gate. The feast is for not just those that we assume are going to be there, but the feast, the party, I mean, it's for the traveling foreigner, it's for the sick, it's for the person that has a really weird, different last name. It has, doesn't matter skin color, doesn't matter money, doesn't matter language, doesn't matter any of that. People are invited into the kingdom feast. And Jesus says, quit putting labels on people. Just get people into the feast. Get people into my banquet. Don't put labels on them. Quit limiting who you think should be invited. We need to hear that. Quit putting a limitation on who you think should be invited or who will actually ever come to church. Don't say no for them. Don't say no for someone. Oh, they'll never come. Don't say no for them. Don't say no. We need to go and invite. That's the principle of this story is we have to go invite people because Jesus is saying, I'm going to provide this amazing banquet and this feast. And then he kind of zings us with this last verse here. He says, for none of those who I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. In other words, you know those people who had all those excuses? They're never going to get to see what I was all about. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get to sample the feast. They're not even going to get the crumbs that they've chose because of their excuses not to attend. And he said, so be it. That's their choice. And I love that because God's arms are open wide. And he's saying anybody can come in. But if someone chooses not to, that's on them. That's on them. But anybody else, they can come. Now, when you think about this, this was this group of religious leaders. And what Jesus is really saying to this little group of religious leaders around this dinner table is, guys, this is you. He's like, you guys are making the excuses. You guys assume that you're going to be on the guest list, but are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to see me as the savior of the world? And they would have been mad, offended, scared, confused. And Jesus says, hey, just don't assume anything. Don't assume. Heaven has different rules. You need to know that. Heaven has different rules, and the guest list is going to be different than what our culture and society does. It's just totally different. God's guest list is so different than how you and I would write one for a party. Those neighborhood associations and those subdivisions, they're all eliminated. They're eliminated in heaven. Jesus says this, or he doesn't say this in his words, but the message of Jesus this is that his invitation does not have limitation. I want us to get that. The invitation of Jesus has no limitations. And so we need to quit putting limitations on people. We need to quit labeling people, oh, they'd never come to Jesus. Oh, they'll never come to church. Oh, if I invited them, they'd never come. We have to quit that. We have to say, you know what? Actually, Jesus says the list is so long, just start inviting. Start bringing them in. Start bringing them in. Start bringing them in. What can we learn from Jesus here? I want us to learn a couple things. Number one is this, you might be surprised at the final guest list in heaven. Let that one sink in. Jesus is trying to tell people, you're not an automatic. You don't automatically get to go to heaven just because grandma brings you to church a lot, or just because you have this heritage, or just because you know, whatever reason. Listen, good people do not get an automatic ticket to heaven. Certain political parties do not get an automatic ticket to heaven. Americans do not get an automatic ticket to heaven. This group that Jesus was sitting around with, even though they were the religious elite, they don't get an automatic ticket to heaven. They made up excuses, and when the time came that the party was available, they didn't show up. Jesus wants to be invited into your life, and he wants there to be relationship and us following him. In fact, Revelation 3:20 says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock." This is Jesus talking to us. "I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share a meal together with friends." I'm wanting an invitation into your life, Jesus says. I'm knocking at the door. I want to have a meal with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you, but you have to open the door and allow me to come in. And so it is personal, and it is us choosing Jesus. Jesus would love that. Don't assume you're going to be in heaven just because you're here. Don't assume it. You have to have a real relationship with Jesus. You have to open up your door, open up your life, and invite him in to be the follower. You need to follow him, and he's going to be your Savior. Second thing I want us to learn today is extending the invitation is not optional. This isn't, well, if you ever feel like inviting someone into a relationship with Jesus, go for it. No, we are mandated by this. He tells us we have to do this. And then as Jesus tells the story, well, I invited these people, they didn't show up. I invited these people, then I went a little bit further and I invited these people, and then I went outside the city gate and I invited these people. In other words, never stop inviting. He wants us to just keep going down the list of life and friends and people that we know. Find people who need Jesus. Go beyond the gate. Urge them to have a real life relationship with God. Invite anyone and everyone who needs to have Jesus. Remember what they said. There is still room. That's what the servant came back and said to the master. Hey, there's still room at the table. Guess what? Look around. Look at some empty seats. There's still room. And if these fill up and when these fill up, then we'll just make more room. Because that's important. When we read this and think about this particular story, the words that I see is compel them, urge them. There's room for them. We need to hear that today. That we need to compel and urge and invite and listen, there is room for them. The invitation has to be there. Jesus is painting this picture of this amazing kingdom feast that happens in heaven. And then we get the opportunity and the responsibility to invite people there. Let's face it, we have a lot to do for God. It's inviting people who don't know him into a relationship so they can know him. That's such a great opportunity we get. I know that inviting people to church can be hard, and talking to people to Jesus can be a little sticky. I know that we cringe a little bit and go, oh, I don't know if that's for me. It is for us. We just have to get comfortable with it, and we have to get used to it, and we have to feel confident in that. And so I understand that sometimes it can be a little nerve-wracking. We play a lot of what ifs. Well, what if? What if they say no? What if they think I'm judgmental? What if I come across judgmental? What if I get rejected? What if I make them feel uncomfortable? And the tendency is you and I, we ask a lot of what ifs. And let's play a little, what if they say yes? What if they go from hurting to being restored? What if they have a relationship with Jesus and the trajectory of their life and their family life changes because they said yes to an invitation that you offered? So let's just talk about this as we wrap up today. Just take a couple minutes here, and I want to be very practical here on how to invite people to church. Number one is this, is you and I, first we have to depend on God. You and I have to know that God is in the middle of this. We have to pray. We have to ask God. We have to know that God is going to speak to their heart. And I just kind of say it this way. Before you talk to your friend about God, talk to God about your friend. So just start talking to God about your friends before you decide to talk to your friends about God. We need to depend on God. The second thing we need to do is we need to be a good friend, a good neighbor. We need to be a good friend because we want this to be relational. We want to come across caring and compassionate. You're not in their ear with a megaphone. They need to know that you care before you share. And so let them know that you care about them. Build a relationship on care, which will then eventually lead to you being able to share. The third thing is really strategic, is to cross-pollinate, which means you've got an amazing friends probably in the room that you're in, and then you've got these friends outside the room at work or neighborhood, and if you can cross-pollinate some of your church friends and some of your non-church friends and get them to know one another, maybe go out to eat together and you try a new restaurant together, or you whatever you do, but you take a little bit from church and take a little bit from non-church and you cross-pollinate, you'll be surprised how good that is. Because trust me, people want to be known when they come to church. And so if you can introduce them to some of your church friends before they ever come on a Sunday, then they know people when they show up. So try to cross-pollinate and try to build some friendships and bridges before a Sunday morning. The next thing I want you to know is that we got to talk about church. You got to talk about what God's doing in your life and through church and make that be a part of your conversation and just live out loud about how good Sunday was and whether it was something that happened in worship or with your kids or whatever it might be. But people want to know about church. If you're having a good time at church, why not share that? In other words, talk on Monday about what happened on Sunday. Just have a Monday conversation about a Sunday experience. Imagine what happens if every Monday we just start having Sunday conversations. So talk about church. And then lastly, very simple, is simply invite. We just have to invite them. We literally just have to invite them. Did you know like over 80% of people will come to church if you simply invite them, but only 2% of Christians in the United States have ever invited someone to church? That's disheartening. We just need to extend the invitation. Casual, don't be confrontational, be very relational, invite them, have the right kind of information. I go on Sundays, my time that I usually go there is, this is the location I go to, here's a website you could go, whatever, just be ready. Make sure that it's you're inviting a friend to something that you're going to be at. Simply invite. Let's go back to playing the what if game. What if they say yes? What if they say yes? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you come in? Won't you? What if they say yes? I'd love to. I'd love to check out your church. I'd love to be your neighbor. I'd love to learn more. I'd love to experience what you keep talking about. What if the one day that they come changes their life for every other day after that? What if? What if they let go of years of baggage and they find forgiveness and now they're walking in freedom? Listen, God wants to use you, and often it's through a simple invitation. And he's just saying, will you go out and invite? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you join me some Sunday? Just invite. Who are you going to invite this week? Who are you going to invite? Think about that for a moment. Someone's invited you. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we can talk about that just in a few minutes when we pray. I want you to think, who am I going to invite? And just be super appreciative that at some point someone has invited you. Okay? Whatever God has done in your life, we pay that forward and we invite somebody else to experience what we've already experienced. That's how good God is, and that's what the kingdom of God is like. Let's pray together. Let's pray.